78, probably 79. He vacuums, and that's his thing. They go through a vacuum clean about every 3 months. That's his thing. Anyways, so this morning, this is a term that we hear all the time now. We heard it with the past presidential administration, and we hear it all the time now. And the term is fake news. Fake news. So fake news is anything that has been put out in public, right, that is not realistic, that can't be proven, can't be justified, right? So this morning, I want to talk about fake news and how we ourselves can be fake news, okay? So what I like to do in the times that I've been up here, I like to just find one or two scriptures, and I like to disassemble them, take them apart, and really dive into them and find meanings and things that people may not have quite caught, and then put it back together and hopefully give it to you from a slightly different perspective, okay? So maybe you already have a perspective. Maybe I can add to your perspective, okay? So the scripture we're going to use today is Mark 11 and 12. Mark 11 and 12. And this is from the NIV. And this is Jesus traveling with the guys. And it says, the next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went out to find if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. Okay? Jumping down to verse 20, it says, in the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. So what I want to do is I want to take these two scriptures and I want to disassemble them, and we're going to break them down, and then we're going to put them back together. And then you're going to assess how this works in your life, okay? So we'll go back to the top. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry, okay? Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went out to find if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Now, let's stop right there. Ask yourself this question. Jesus, the Son of the living God, maker of heaven and earth, probably knows everything. You would think that Jesus, even though that fig tree had leaves on it, Jesus would have known that it wasn't the season for figs. Right? So why would Jesus, and it says it's in the distance, so that means Jesus was on a path, and Jesus saw this fig tree in the distance, so he made a detour, and he went to this fig tree to see if it had figs, even though he knew it wasn't the season for figs. Why would he do that? And after he got to the tree, and he discovered that it only had leaves and no figs, he cursed the tree. So the next question is, why would Jesus curse the tree? He could have just said, oh, there's no figs on it, and gone on about his business. Why did he take the necessary step of cursing the tree? The third is from the bottom of that verse, and it says, he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And the scriptures made a point of saying, and his disciples heard him say it. So my third question is, why did he say it so the disciples could hear him? Okay, so Jesus, all-knowing, all-powerful, he's a teacher. In verse 10, Peter called him rabbi, which means teacher, right? Jesus used this entire situation as a teaching tool. Not for himself, but for those who stood around. Jesus knew that it wasn't the season for figs, yet he went to the tree. The tree did not have figs, right? He cursed the tree. So imagine if you are a fig tree, okay? We're all fig trees, or an apple tree. I don't care what kind of tree you want to be. Just be a tree, some kind of tree, all right? Cherry, is the cherry tree a thing? I'm from the city, I don't know. So here's the thing. The fig tree in leaf represented growth. It represented possibility, right? It represented nourishment because it had leaves on it, right? If you're a fig tree, a Christian, okay, a tree planted in the garden, you are representing growth. You're representing fruitfulness. You're representing life. You're representing possibilities, right? So if we go out in the world with the mentality of a fig tree and we say that we are Christians, okay, people expect to walk up on us and find something. So when you're when you say you're a Christian, whether you're on the job or with friends or whatever, people nearby you are going to hear you, see you, but people will come to you from afar. What will they come to you for? They will come to you hoping to be fed spiritually, hoping that you have not just leaves, that you're not just saying that you're a Christian, but that you have fruit to back it up. What kind of fruit are we giving people? What kind of fruit should they expect when they come to us? There's all kinds of fruit, but if you wanted to be specific, you could go to Galatians 5 and 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So when people say, when you tell people that you're a Christian, you know, or if you have a bumper sticker on your car or a fish, remember I used that analogy before, and you have a fish on your car or you are wearing a cross around your neck or you're carrying a Bible, you are saying, I am a tree that is in bloom. You are saying to the world, I have something to offer you. I have something to give you. Come to me and be fed. Because if we're Christians, that's what we're supposed to do. Okay, we're a beacon, right? We draw people to us, and when they come to us, they should find substance. So if we are in leaf saying that we are a Christian, and people come up on us and they find that we have nothing to offer. We don't have any fruit. We don't have love. We don't have joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We say we're a Christian and we don't have those things. It doesn't matter how many leaves you have, okay? You're a wasted tree. Because you're not offering anything to yourself or to anybody. Why are you not offering anything to anybody? Because people are coming to you hoping to get something from you. Okay? They're hoping that you can be an example to them, give them love, give them joy, give them peace. So not only are you depriving them, but you're also depriving yourself because now you don't have the opportunity to do what God wants you to do. You've missed your opportunity, because you spoke with the mouth that you were a Christian, but your actions did not back it up. You spoke flowery, leafy things, but there was no substance behind it. There was nothing behind it. It was just talk. So, back to the story. So, Jesus put himself in the position of the world. He He did this for the disciples so they could see. He put himself in the position of the world. Oh, look, there's a place where I can, oh, there's Christ Temple North. On the hill, I can see it from afar. It's on Google Maps. It's right there. From afar. You know, some people have found this church because of that. They found us from afar on the internet. So they're like, it's a church. Churches have Christians. Surely, this is a place of love, joy, peace, goodness, faithfulness, long-suffering, self-control. If they come through those doors and we are not offering that to them and they don't feel that from us, then we have wasted their time, right? And we have wasted God's time because he has given us everything we need to give away to somebody else. And if we don't do that and we profess with our mouths that we are Christians, the scripture says, then we are a liar and the truth is not in us. So when Jesus went to the fig tree, it had leaves, it had no fruit. He cursed the tree. Okay? So when we are not doing what we have been asked, ordained to do, what we have promised to do, we bring curses upon ourselves. Not upon the person, because after Jesus cursed the tree, right, he went on about his business. Okay, they went on back to Jerusalem and he was doing what he was doing. But the tree was left alone by itself to wither and to die. You may not necessarily physically wither and die, but if you spend your life giving lip service with nothing behind it, empty words, your spirit will disconnect from God, which is your life force, and you will spiritually wither and die. Now, I said a few minutes ago that God gives us things to give away to other people. So how do we keep our life force coming through our roots that we can bear fruit? That's in our reading the Bible, studying the Bible, Bible studies, coming to church, praise and worship, taking notes, learning what he expects of each and every one of us collectively, but more importantly, individually. Because it's easy to be a fruitful tree when you're in here with all these people and the music's going and everything's great and the spirit is high and you're feeling that emotion, which is a fleeting thing. But what happens when you wake up tomorrow morning and you have to go to work? You have to drive in traffic. You have a boss that gets on your nerves. You have employees that get on your nerves. You have a spouse that gets on your nerves. You have kids that get on your nerves. You got bills. You got to pay your taxes. You got to pay your insurance. You just had a hailstorm. The roof's got to be redone. The insurance don't want to pay out. You have all of these things. How are you going to react to these things? So I ask people, are you going to react or are you going to respond? That's what makes the difference. Reacting is emotion. Responding takes thought. When we read and study the Bible, it teaches us how to respond. When somebody comes to you with a problem, when someone comes to you with a question, when somebody needs guidance, when somebody needs help, the Bible teaches us how to respond. It teaches us the fruit that we are to give out to other people. Okay? When someone goes and pulls fruit from a tree, they don't pull all of the fruit from the tree. There's always some fruit left. You're going to leave some for yourself. But God doesn't give us everything we have just for us. He doesn't give us everything we have just for our little circle. He gives us everything we have so we can go out and be in the world, but not of the world. We can go out and we can be ambassadors and advocates for him, spread his joy, spread his love, his peace, his faithfulness, his goodness, his long-suffering, his self-control in the world, but you can't give what you don't have. God gives it to us so we can give it away. And when we don't have it, we wither and we die. So Jesus cursed this tree, left it out there. And the next question is, why did he say it so the disciples could hear him? He said, the scripture says he saw the tree from afar. So we don't know if they all went off with Jesus or if Jesus left them behind and went up to the tree by himself, but the scriptures made a specific point of saying that, and his disciples heard him say it. Okay? Jesus didn't need to curse the tree. Jesus didn't need to go to the tree. But he did need to curse the tree so the disciples could hear him say it. Why? Because it was a learning lesson for them. Sometimes we do things not for us, but for those who stand around. Sometimes somebody is sent to you, okay? It's not about you. It's about them, okay? If they're coming to you, they're lacking something. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They're coming to you. They need something from you. What are you going to give them? What do you have to give them? You tell people you go, I hope that you proudly tell people that you're a Christian. But I also hope that you truthfully tell people that you're a Christian. And that means that not just I have a Bible in my house. That means that I read it, I study it, and I try to live it. Okay? So the fig tree, it knew how to be a fig tree. It knew what to do. It's a tree. It grows figs. It's what it does. Okay? But it did not practice what it knew how to do. Okay? Because the tree, knowing that it's a fig tree and knowing that if it has leaves on it, then it should have figs, it should have either had leaves and figs or no leaves and no figs. Okay? So if you know that you don't have something to offer, don't act like you do. Because people are going to come to you expecting you to have something to offer. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God and say, you know what? I am lacking in this area. Because knowing that is the beginning of understanding. It's the old saying, knowledge is power. When you know you don't have something, that's the first step to knowing what you need to do to go get it. Amen. Where do you need to go get it? So if you think about it, if you are this fig tree, if you're fake news, the person that's coming to you has more sense than you do because they have enough sense to know that they're lacking something. They're smarter than you are. But if you're professing all of this and I'm a Christian or I'm on the praise team or I go to church every Sunday and I pay my tithes and all of that and you've got nothing in here, you're fake news. You speak it, but you don't live it. What you speak cannot be substantiated. It cannot be proven. They're looking around at you and they're like, well, why would I get up at 8:30 to go to church? You're not doing no better than I'm doing. I'm just going to sleep in. If it's not working for you, then why would I go through the trouble? That's what fake news does. So now what happens? You get cursed because you have professed that you are a child of God and you're not acting that way. How many of you got kids in here? How many of your children have done something where you're like, that is not my kid? I'm not claiming that kid till Tuesday because I don't know what that. God does the same thing. He doesn't want you running around telling people you're a Christian and you're acting just like these other clowns out here. We have a higher standard. We have a different way of thinking. We have something to offer our families. We have something to offer our employers, our employees, our friends. We have something to offer the world. And so when we say that, they have to believe it. But they're not going to believe it if you don't believe it. People are smarter than you think they are. They can see through the BS. They can see through it. And sometimes you only have one opportunity. Because when Jesus cursed that fig tree and it died, there's nothing else in the scripture that says that tree grew back. Now, God might restore you But your opportunity to help that one person, you withered it. It's gone. It's gone. The course of someone's life may have been changed by the fact that you weren't ready when they needed you. And this might be a lot to put on people, but you know what? Being a Christian is a lot. If you don't think being a Christian and trying to hold a higher standard and all of that is not a lot, you're not watching the news and you're not paying attention. Because the world has gone off the rails. We have gone from agreeing to disagree to, you don't agree with me, I'm going to burn your house down, I'm going to kill your family, you need to go to jail. I mean, everybody's angry. Everybody's angry. And not only is everybody angry, but everybody's acting out on the anger. You can blame it on politics. You can blame it on COVID. I don't know how we still blame stuff on COVID. That was 2 years ago. But you can blame it on everything that you want to blame it on. But God's word has never failed. It's never weakened through much worse things. Read the Old Testament. We ain't been through nothing. Read the Old Testament. God's word, God's power, and God's strength has existed and powered through the worst of situations and circumstances. So anybody who doesn't think that it's easy, who doesn't think that it's hard to be a Christian, yeah, I know it's harder. It's getting harder. It's getting harder. I get that. I'll give you that, okay? But hard doesn't mean impossible. Put in some work, because Jesus put in some work for us. He put in a lot of work for us. The least we can do, if we are going to put that tag across us of Christian, which means Christ-like, is put forth a good effort to do what he expects us to do, to say what he expects us to say, to give how he expects us to give, to live how he expects us to live, and to not be fake news. You may not have it down pat. You may not have it perfect. You don't need to know the Bible in and out. He just wants you to give it a good try, okay? Because if you give it a good try, someone once said to me years ago, and I'll never forget it, if you labor, God will deliver. If you put in the effort, God's going to make sure that he does his part. He's already doing his part. We just need to do our part, okay? So we have to do everything that we can not to be fake news. We have to be true Christians. Now, back to the scripture. Now, why did Jesus say it so the disciples could hear him? Because this was a teaching opportunity, because this is what happens. When you tell people that you're a Christian, all the antennas go up. Everybody's watching. And when you do something that is not Christ-like, all those same antennas are watching. You're doing it in front of the same people. And then you get to see, I told you. I told you he wasn't serious. I told you he wasn't real Christian. I told you he wasn't real Christian. Because there are certain people, they are waiting for you to fail. They are waiting for you to fail. Don't give them that satisfaction. Tell them you're a Christian and then prove it to them. Okay? Don't give them that satisfaction. Because Satan is not running around with a pitchfork and horns like on the Louisiana hot sauce bottle. He does not look like that. Satan, just like God works and moves through people, Satan works and moves through people, okay? And sometimes it's the people right next to you waiting for you, waiting to see what fruit do you have. They're standing right next to your trunk, looking up to see, do you just have leaves or do you have fruit? And if you don't have fruit, just like Jesus cursed that tree and he did it so the disciples could hear it, when you don't have fruit, they are going to know it, and they're going to tell everybody about it. They don't have fruit. They're not a real Christian. They don't have what it takes. So now you're bringing shame and not glory to the kingdom of God. God created us here, and he put us here to love him, to glorify him, and to honor him, but also to be a light to our brothers and sisters. And if we're not doing that, then we're fake news. So when we say we're Christians, we're seen from afar. They come to us. They expect the fruit of the Spirit. They expect that. So what we need to show people once they get up close, are we the real deal or are we just talk? Do we have leaves and fruit or should we not have leaves or fruit? Okay. Our lives are an example to the world. I've mentioned this before. Somebody told me the way I live my life is nobody's business. I said, are you a Christian? And they said, yes. I said, your life is everybody's business. Because if it's not, then why are you here? If you say you're a Christian and you just stay in your house and read the Bible 24 hours a day, what are you doing? You just in the house reading the Bible. God wants us to go out. He wants us to draw people in. He wants us to be out in the world, right? Because we are instructed. We have to be in the world. He says, but don't be of the world. So how do we draw people to Christ if we don't go outside of our house? How do we draw people to Christ if we just all of us Christians just stay hunkered down in this building and we don't go anywhere? Well, what good are we doing? Jesus and the disciples didn't just hang out in a room somewhere. They went out into the world. They talked to people. They saved souls. They healed people. Yeah, it was dangerous. They had death threats. They had all these things going on. I guarantee you, none of you have had a death threat for saying that you were a Christian. So going out into the world and doing what we need to do, doing what God has called us to do, doing what we said we would do, is not a life-threatening situation to any of us physically. But spiritually, it is a life-threatening situation. Because if we don't do what we have said we are going to do, what we've promised God we would do, then we are lying directly to God, not to anybody else, right? And that lifeline is severed. And we wither up. Thankfully, God's mercy is renewed every day. But if you don't read the Bible, you don't know that. And so you just stay dead. You don't get revived. You don't get replenished. So we have to study. We have to armor ourselves up. We have to do the things. We have to water our roots with the life-giving word so that when people come to us, we have something to give them. So we are going to be one of two things as we live our lives. You're either going to be an instruction manual or you're going to be a cautionary tale. So if you're an instruction manual, somebody's like, oh my God, look at them. You know, they said they were Christian and, you know, they were in that situation and they just handled that with so much grace. They handled that. They handled it so cool. They did so well. And I'm just so impressed with how they did that. And look at how they lived their life. They lived their life with so much, you know, so much love and so much honor. That's an instruction manual. Everybody talks about how my mom gives great hugs, right? Everybody says that she gives great hugs. Last week, we were at my niece's graduation party, and there was this lady, Miss Che was her name, right? We've never met this lady, never seen her before. We'll never see her again. And my mom hugged her, and she goes, hug me again. You give the best hugs. That's fruit. You know how many people just need a hug? That's fruit. A total stranger. So we know that's proof that you all aren't just saying it because it's just something that you say. It's true. Her ministry, part of her ministry, is hugs. Some people just need a smile. Some people just need you to say good morning to them. Some people just need you to see them. It's that simple. So she was ministering through a hug. A hug. It's free. She didn't even have to study how to do it. She just hugged the lady. So your life is going to be either an instruction manual on how to live, or you're going to be a cautionary tale. Here's a cautionary tale. Did you see how he did that? Don't do that. Because he messed that all up. So you're either going to show people how to do it right, or you're going to show people how to do it wrong. There really isn't an in-between. So when we say that we're Christians, we want to lean toward how to do it right. We want to be seen doing right. We want to be seen being fruitful. We want to be seen giving life, giving love, giving joy, peace, faithfulness, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, self-control. We want to be seen giving those things. And we want people to be able to feel us giving those things. We don't want to be over here where people are like, wow, and you're a Christian, huh? All righty. I'm going to go back over here. Who's this person? Okay. Who are you drawing to you? So how we live our life determines how God sees us. How we live our life determines whether we're going to bear fruit or we're going to wither and die. I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to be short because we have a baptism today. But I want to leave. Ah, you learned from the last time, didn't you? That's my brother right there. This is what I want to leave with you all. And I don't know where I got this from, but it struck me years ago and I wrote it down. Because we all make mistakes and we're all human. I get that. Somebody said, people will forgive you for not being the person you should be, but they will not forgive you for not being the person you claimed to be. I'm going to say that again. People will forgive you for not being the person you should be. Because we all need work, right? But they will not forgive you for not being the person you claimed to be. So my advice to you, if you don't feel in your heart that you are truly a Christian and truly doing what God would have you to do, I would not leave this building without the Isaacs laying hands on me. Because if you're just speaking words, flowery phrases, showing leaves, but no fruit, you're lying on God. You're lying to yourself, and you're lying on God. That you should be scared of. Now, I'm not saying that you have to be a theologian and you have to know all these, all these scriptures. That's not what I'm saying. But if you don't feel like you are on the path, at least on the path, don't worry about who's down there and don't worry about, are your feet on the path? If your feet are not on the path or you have one foot on the path and one foot off the path, you need to get yourself squared up and get on that path. And don't tell another Christian, a person you're a Christian until you know for sure. Because you have to know for sure. Because when you say you're a Christian, you are saying, I have decided to take on the attitude, the feelings, the thoughts, and the actions of Jesus Christ. You may not have it all figured out. You may not have it perfected. None of us do. And if you do think you do, the Isaacs need to lay hands on you too because you're lying. But if you don't feel like that you've got that moving inside of your spirit, don't leave this place without the Isaacs laying hands and praying for you. Yes. So don't be fake news. Okay? There's another saying, this one just came to me. You all have heard this. It's better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. God bless you.